Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not Safe for Work by Lindsay Lanza. Narrated by Grace Grant and Tyler Dunn. It is literally impossible to be a woman. Barbie. This one's for my 20-something self, for the girl who spent way too much time trying to be what everyone else wanted from her. For the girl who was told how to act, how to dress, and what volume her voice should be to make it in the business world. For the girl men claimed was too much, too difficult, too emotional, too sexy, too boring, too wild, too smart, I shit you not, to be the right one. For the girl who grew up enough to figure it out for herself. And for Eric, for building something with me. Author's note. While this story is a work of fiction, every anecdote has been taken from my experience working in the world of tech and startups. All names have been changed. Prologue. It has been brought to my attention that I lack enthusiasm. Enthusiasm? Seriously? Under normal circumstances, this would be a mediocre insult. But taking into account my current position, consider me offended. What did you say? The words spill out of my mouth along with my boyfriend's dick.
No, you can keep going. It'd just be better if you acted like you liked it more.
Liked it more? How much am I supposed to enjoy giving head? It's not that I hate it, but what's to like? My knees hurt from the tile beneath me. The relative silence has me focusing on nothing but the small sounds of me gagging and the constant internal thoughts about what I'm doing wrong. Sure, I'm loving every second of it. Do you want me to do something differently? I ask.
It's fine. Just finish, okay?
He grabs the back of my head and not so gently guides himself back in my mouth. I try to force out some pleasurable-sounding moans, but since he's silent, as always, I'm not sure if I succeed. After a few more minutes of trying my best to enjoy this, I hear the telltale grunt of my job being done. I swallow my boyfriend's enthusiasm and rise from the kitchen floor as he buttons his pants, and just when I lean in for a kiss, he pulls away and pecks my forehead instead.
Sweetie,
he says in the most patronizing voice I've ever heard.
We should talk.
I, Olivia Diamond, perfect girlfriend, have been dumped. I look at my phone again because I'm dumbstruck that the conversation only lasted 10 minutes. Surely something is off. But no, the clock isn't wrong. My brain just doesn't want to admit defeat. Ian spent a total of 10 minutes telling me why I'm not good enough. He even listed the reasons off on his fingers. My long-term relationship has been whittled down to a thumb pointing to bad sex, a ring finger for too young and immature, and a fucking pinky to clarify that I'm just not marriage material. And the one that hurt the most, when he quipped about me not having a real career. He said the promotion I've been working toward for months is nothing but a pipe dream. For a moment, after I grab my bag and head toward the door to leave his apartment, I think he might change his mind, that maybe I'll feel his hand on my shoulder, that he'll spin me around and apologize, that he'll ask me to stay. Instead, I hear him flop down on the couch and turn on the TV. Unbelievable. My only real adult relationship is over. The guy I spent 2 years trying so hard to be perfect for has had enough of me. 2 years of doing everything I could to be the girlfriend he wanted me to be. The fashion choices I made to appease him, the music I only listened to in secret, the delicious, sugary drinks I gave up for more mature beverages. Or worst of all, wearing a tight, headache-inducing bun for months at a time because my long, fiery red hair is too wild. All of it was for absolutely nothing. I close the door behind me and slump against the wall, willing myself not to shed a single tear. Ian isn't worth my tears, and I think I've known that for a while now. Because underneath the pain in my chest, I can feel a weight being lifted as well. It's almost as if I'm a balloon and Ian was the rock I was tied to. I only wish I would have been strong enough to cut the string myself. Because Ian doesn't know what he's talking about. Ian doesn't know me. I am mature. I do live in the real world. I will make someone happy one day. And I'm getting that damn promotion if it kills me. 2 months later. Chapter 1. Olivia.
The new usual? Carla asks as I enter Fog and Foam, my daily caffeine supplier.
Yes, please, I reply, though she's already started making my sugar cookie latte with an extra shot and an obscene amount of whipped cream. Ian would say my drink order is ridiculous, but he's not here to judge me anymore. Somehow it makes the drink taste even sweeter. I'm earlier than usual, so I grab a seat to enjoy a few sips before heading into the office. I could save a dollar a day by going to any of the 3 Starbucks across the street. But I love this place. It's full of mismatched furniture and chairs that are actually comfortable, and just north of the San Francisco Ferry Building, it's right on the water. The name isn't a coincidence. For most of the morning, the entire shop is surrounded by fog. When I was young, I hated the fog. It made my hair frizzy, my skin damp, and my parents wouldn't let me ride my bike when the ground got too wet. I had a tendency for tracking mud through the estate. But then I learned that fog was the lifeblood of California wine country, the place I grew up in. All that extra warmth from the Pacific is what made my family's business a success. And it creates a damn good Pinot Noir. Opening my email, I scroll through to delete the numerous automated messages I don't need, and I spot a LinkedIn notification. As a sales rep pushing marketing software in San Francisco, I basically live on LinkedIn. I send tons of messages to prospective clients every single day. But for some reason, I have a good feeling about this one, and when I open it up, I'm right. Tristan Cross, he, him, second chief marketing officer at Surf and Stream.
Olivia, I appreciate your persistence in reaching out to me. As you mentioned, I was recently appointed this position, and my schedule has been full. I'm very interested in hearing more about what you do at Sizzle and how it could benefit our marketing program. You're also correct that our offices are nearby. If you'd still like to meet for coffee, I could carve out 30 minutes tomorrow at 10. Fog and Foam is my favorite as well. You can email me directly at tristan.cross@surfandstream.com for a faster reply. Please CC my EA Chelsea, chelsea.mcdonald@surfandstream.com. Tristan Cross, CMO, surfandstream.com.
I can't help it. I squeal.
Hey, you okay? Carla shouts from behind the counter.
I look back apologetically. I'm fine, sorry. Great, actually. I grin at Carla. Better than great. This is exactly what I've been waiting for, a chance to prove myself with a huge prospect. For the first time in weeks, I'm excited to go into the office. I grab my coffee and practically skip down the Embarcadero to our building, sneaking a few glances at the water and the Bay Bridge, one of my favorite views. I anxiously ride the elevator up to the 22nd floor, letting my nails tap on the wall to the beat of Aretha Franklin demanding respect. And then I burst through the doors to Sizzle HQ like I own the place.
Morning, Sparkles.
I grimace at the typical greeting from Gavin Scott. When I first started at Sizzle, I learned quickly how nickname-forward the culture was here. Our CEO, Danesh Khan, is mostly referred to as DK.
Most of the guys on my team get called by their last name or some version of their initials.
I prayed during orientation that they didn't start calling me O.D. and that Diamond would suffice. But then, a few months in, Gavin Scott decided to start calling me Sparkles. It only took a second to realize it was some sort of insult, the mocking tone a sure giveaway. And sadly, the best retort I could come up with was to call him Scotty. 2 years later, both names have stuck. Gavin's not my enemy, but he's definitely not my friend. He's just the extremely attractive, top-performing salesman I'm forced to stare at all day from the desk directly across from me. I don't have anything against him, but it's tough working with people when I know they don't like me. And Gavin Scott has made it very clear that he wants nothing to do with me. Sure, he's always professional. He answers questions when I ask, and he's perfectly polite to me in meetings. But when it's not required for work, he puts the rude in broody. Last Friday, I tried being extra friendly and asked him about his plans after work. He responded with a brusque, "Happy hour with the team," before promptly grabbing his stuff and walking out. Our team, he was referring to, the one I'm also a part of. Somehow, I don't think my invite went to spam. I wish I didn't care so much about being his least favorite sizzler, but I'd be lying if I didn't admit to having a little crush when we first met. How could I not? He has these piercing aqua-adjacent eyes and a megawatt smile that's impossible not to feel in your chest. He also has this way about him. Maybe it's charisma, or just the perfection of his face, but whenever he is forced to interact with me, it's impossible not to like the guy. It's irritating as hell. "Hey, Scotty," I respond. "Here early again?"
"Early bird catches the, what's the saying again? Oh yeah, the biggest commission checks."
He winks, and just like every other day, I wonder how we can get away with saying things like that when I get judged for so much less. Ugh. I'm about to respond with a snippy comment about wondering what it's like to get those kinds of commissions when I remember that I need him today. Surf and Stream is his account, after all. My job is to source leads for him, set up initial meetings, and then bring in the closer. I'm just a glorified telemarketer, sending hundreds of emails a day so that when someone finally bites, I can introduce them to a man who'll actually do the selling. Not just Gavin, but all four men on my team. Yes, I'm the only woman. And yes, I'm the only one who hasn't been promoted to sales executive within their first year. It's supposed to be a one-year cycle. 1 year to learn from our sales counterparts along with leadership before we get promoted to run deals ourselves. I joined the team 2.5 years ago, but Mitch, our vice president, still doesn't think I'm ready. But I am ready. I know I am, no matter what Mitch thinks or what Ian used to say. I might hate this job most days, but I know once I get the promotion, everything will change. Gavin, along with the other guys on the team, have offered to let me work some of their territory. They each gave me a list of accounts that could be mine if I'm able to set up a meeting. My excitement about these opportunities died almost immediately when I realized they were all accounts that had basically been impossible to break into. But then, a few months ago, I saw Surf and Stream appointed a new chief marketing officer. Every article I've read about Tristan Cross says he's young and ambitious and wants to make waves. Choosing a new marketing platform like Sizzle to expand their program sounded like a no-brainer for him. So I've been relentless in my outreach. And it paid off. Now I just have to confirm with Gavin that he'll still let me run with it. I want to believe he wouldn't betray me. We may not be friends, but he's always professional. The thing is, Surf and Stream is one of the fastest-growing streaming platforms in the world right now. The deal size could be massive, upwards of $1 million a year. I'm not sure if I could really blame him for not giving up that kind of money just to be a trustworthy colleague. Shit, I should have brought him a muffin or something.
Sparkles, You okay over there? I see your lips moving, but no sound is coming out, just in case you didn't know.
He smirks, and I practically flinch at how sexy he looks doing it.
He is making fun of you, Olivia.
I really hate this habit of mine. I'm horrible at concealing my emotions, and even worse, I tend to mouth the thoughts in my head way too often. Just a lovely symptom of my anxiety. Hey! I look up and flash him a dazzling smile. He mirrors my expression, and I think once again about how much easier it would be to hate him if he didn't look like that. So, I got a message back from the CMO at Surf and Stream. He wants a meeting. Gavin's eyes flash, and his mouth goes slack. I start to nibble the inside of my cheek. Please, please, please don't say you're taking it back. To my shock, his smile turns genuine, but he hides it quickly with his usual look of indifference.
Cool. You still good to run the deal?
I eye him with a bit too much skepticism. He's really letting me keep it?
It's yours, he clarifies, but since you haven't run a meeting before, you might want to have someone sit in, or just help you prep.
I would kill for someone as good as Gavin to help me prepare, but I can't tell if he's offering. Do you mean you would...
I'm way too busy, he scoffs. Just get Ian to make someone help you.
Yeah, right. Even if we hadn't broken up a couple months ago, he'd never offer to help me with work. I feel a little awkward not correcting Gavin, but I've yet to tell 99% of my coworkers that Ian and I broke up. I'm still not ready for the aftermath. I was never prepared for the rumors when I started dating Sizzle's biggest investor. I have no idea what to expect once I go public with our breakup. Sorry for bothering, I start to respond, but he's already put his headphones on. I guess I shouldn't have expected one moment of kindness to turn into an actual conversation. I respond to a few more emails and LinkedIn messages as the rest of the team starts to filter in. It's still early for other departments, but the sales team is always in first. Except for the surprisingly empty desk to my left. Curious. Hey, Scotty? I bravely ask a few minutes later. He hears me but just points to his headphones like he can't be bothered. Not sure why I expected any differently. I turn to Eduardo this time, who sits diagonal to me. Hey, do you know what's going on here? I gesture to the desk next to mine where Paul sits. His normally cluttered desk full of papers and fidget toys is completely empty other than an unplugged monitor and a few pens. Oh. He leans over his desk to whisper, fired. On Friday. Eduardo's eyebrows shoot up, letting me know there's more to the story. I don't bother asking him for more information since I doubt he'd tell me. He's definitely not an office gossip. Luckily for me, my best friend Andy very much is. Slack direct message. Olivia Diamond. Hey, I just heard about Paul. Do you know what happened? Andy O. Morning. Yes, but NSFW. I'll text you. Andy O. Okay, I can't believe I forgot to tell you this weekend. He was fired on Friday at the end of the day for lewd behavior. Me. Didn't he get caught having sex in the stairwell last month? That wasn't lewd enough for HR? Right? Honestly, I thought the same thing, but IT saw the sex tape and kept it somewhat under wraps. This time, he had no such luck. He was caught doing coke in the bathroom.
No way.
Yes way. The guy is so dumb he didn't even go into a stall. He was doing lines at the sink, FFS.
So who caught him? Do you know?
That's the best part. HR did.
How? There are zero men in HR, right?
Like I said, the best part. He must have still been drunk from the night before or something, because he was in the women's bathroom.
I gasp audibly, and when I look up, I notice Gavin's been watching me. The Andy Express?
I nod with a quick laugh at the team's name for Sizzle's rumor mill. If Andy were anyone else, people would probably hate her for knowing all the company gossip. But in reality, she's more like the darling of Sizzle. She's run our marketing team since she started here, plucked from a Google internship and tasked with planning huge events and doing all our social media when the company was a little baby startup. Now, she reports directly to the CMO and has a team of three. She also has a part-time intern who happens to be Gavin's little sister, Gabby. Andy O. I'm heading into the office now. Want to grab coffee? Me. Can't. Have my one-to-one with Mitch in 10. Lunch? Noon? Sushirito? See you then, Buttercup. Like most other tech companies in the Bay, we have an open office floor plan. Our co-founders both sit at a pod of desks with the other engineers. But our vice president of sales, along with a couple others on the leadership team, demanded his own office. I lightly knock on the just barely open door. Hey, Mitch, you ready for me?
Sure, sure. Come in, he says without looking up from his phone.
After a few minutes of sitting in silence, he finishes up the texting and looks at me. He's probably confused as to why I'm smiling.
You look chipper. Finally over, Ian.
I hate that Mitch knows about my breakup when I've barely told anyone other than Andy. So much for HR confidentiality. I knew I shouldn't have bothered disclosing the breakup. Definitely learned my lesson there. In my defense, I could never find the rulebook for dating your company's investor. Ian's old news. Really, no need to talk about him ever again. I have a new sales prospect.
Okay.
Surf and Stream, their new CMO wants a meeting, tomorrow. The words fly from my mouth, but Mitch doesn't come close to matching my excitement.
Great. Did you tell Gavin?
I did, but this is one of the accounts he said I could work on my own, remember? You said it was fine as long as he was okay with it.
I remember, but I meant smaller deals. This is too significant to take a chance with, Livy.
Ugh, I hate when he calls me that. It always sounds like he's talking down to me, like I'm a child or a pet. I actually think I prefer Sparkles. But
what else are you working on?
He asks, skipping over this like there's absolutely nothing left to say on the topic. But I'm definitely not finished. Mitch? I pause to take a breath. Don't be argumentative, but don't be a pushover. Be strong, but not so strong that he'll think you're bitchy. Be direct, not emotional. I dig deep for the big-tit energy Andy is always telling me I have hidden inside. You said I can't get promoted until you see I can work deals on my own. Gavin's on board, and the meeting is already set. I need this opportunity to show you what I can do. Please? My soul is crushed a tiny bit that I couldn't stop myself from adding, please. I make a mental note to practice this conversation later and lose the P word. How unmanly of me. Mitch looks back at me like I'm the human equivalent of a dental appointment, nothing more than an annoyance, but one he can't avoid forever.
Fine. When's the meeting? I'll be joining you.
Chapter 2. Gavin.
Finally! Gabby yells as I walk through the door to our apartment. I haven't even finished setting down my backpack when she continues, "Why were you at the office so late?" I ignore her for a minute and sit down at the kitchen table, rolling out my neck from the 11-hour workday. "Hey, Khadisha," I say to Gabby's girlfriend when she joins me. "Sorry for holding up dinner." We share a grin, both of us accustomed to my sister's extreme expectations for punctuality. Expectations that neither of us can seem to meet. "I like the hair. Pink suits you."
"Oh, I know."
She flips a few braids behind her ear. I laugh as Gabby joins us at the table, setting down a platter of lasagna. "My sister is an amazing cook, and I dread the day she moves out and I'm stuck with frozen dinners every night." Once we've all had a few bites, delicious bites, Gabby starts in again.
"So, why were you working so late?"
"Come on, you know I work late all the time, just trying to make as much money as I can.
How else am I supposed to pay for that fancy school of yours? I flash a smile. I was working on a few contract proposals. Gabby leans so far forward on the table that Khadisha has to pull her hair back before it takes a swim in the lasagna.
Mentiroso!
You, big brother, are a big, fat liar! I shoot her a look, trying to figure out what's going on, but I get nothing. A silent standoff forms, and Khadisha's gaze flies back and forth between us like she's watching a ping-pong match. What? I finally say back.
Be honest. Tell us why you were really there until 7 o'clock.
It's a full stare down between us, and I'm starting to guess she already knows exactly what I was doing.
Who told you?
You know Olivia and Andy are like best friends, right?
Yeah, I did know that. And I really shouldn't be surprised that Gabby's boss, Andy, felt the need to tell anyone, especially my sister, that I stayed late to help out Liv. Fine. Liv was stressing out about a meeting tomorrow, and everyone else was in meetings, so I offered to help her prep. Why is that such a big deal?
Gabby levels me with a weighted look, willing me to read her mind.
I just shrug. She's making a huge fuss over nothing. She knows I wouldn't usually spend time with Liv unless it's obligatory, but she was a mess this afternoon. I'm not sure what went down with her one-on-one with Mitch, but ever since that meeting, she was extra fidgety and frantic.
The holiday party was over 2 years ago. It's time to move on,
Gabby continues. She's not wrong, but her words still feel like daggers.
She has a serious boyfriend.
And the kill shot. I know, okay? I've moved on. I exaggerate each word to help convince her. That doesn't mean I can't be a decent human and help one of my colleagues. The more deals she can close, the better for our company, right?
Oh, come on, Gabby huffs. I don't buy any of that. It's time to forget about her and find someone else to fall madly in love with. How will you ever meet your soulmate if you're staying late at work every night to help the girl who's unavailable?
I sigh. Sometimes Gabby acts like finding a girlfriend is the only thing that matters in the world. Of course, I love how much she cares about me, but I'm just not interested in anyone. This has nothing to do with my dating life, she huffs. Gabs, please relax. Olivia and I work together, and part of my job is coaching the rest of the team. Today it was her, tomorrow it could be Eddie needing a hand. I can't refuse to work with her just because she... I don't finish the sentence because we all know how it ends.
Maybe you don't remember how messed up you were over her, but I do. You're my family and I just...
Her voice breaks.
Never want to see you like that again.
I roll my eyes, just as Khadisha says, dark times, under her breath. Guilt swells through me, remembering how I ruined their first Christmas as a couple. Gabby and I were so excited to bring Khadisha into the mix, to show her our favorite traditions of days full of baking food from our childhood and watching cheesy holiday movies. But that Christmas, the only thing I wanted to ingest was alcohol, and the only movies I would watch ended in murder. It's not like that, I swear. My sister sighs in resignation.
Es que no confío que no te hago daño.
Hey, Khadisha interrupts. No Spanish at the dinner table. You know I can't understand you.
Gabby cringes. It's not unusual for her to slip into another language. She speaks 5. When it's just the two of us, it's common to switch to Spanish, since it's what we both grew up speaking, even if it has been almost 20 years since we left Argentina.
Sorry, she apologizes. I just said I'm worried she'll hurt him. And you know I can go a little mama bear when it comes to my big brother.
Gabby, I sigh.
What? You need someone looking out for you. Who else is going to do it if I don't?
Babe, they work together. Khadisha comes to my rescue, and I'm thankful because I'm more than tired of talking about this with my sister. She's been pushing me to keep my distance from Liv for what feels like forever.
If he's fine with it, then maybe you should let it go. My sister plops back in her chair with a pout, her arms crossed over her chest like a petulant child. I can't help but grin. How about a subject?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?